read what they say about Chesterfields in daily newspapers covering all 48 states. It's for you and for me.
A.
Always milder.
B.
Better tasting.
C.
Cooler smoking.
A, B, C.
Always buy Chesterfields. They satisfy.
Smoke rings from smoke rings.
While a Chesterfield rings.
Chesterfield presents Arthur Godfrey Time. Yes, it's Arthur Godfrey and all the little Godfreys. The Mariners and Archie Blyer and his orchestra.
In the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia, on the trail of the lonesome pine, on the farm again, where men are men, broadcasting from the chicken pen, my songs are a hit with the sows, and I find that I tickle the cows as I sit reclining in Virginia on my tail in the lonesome. Hello, everybody. Happy bellyache to you. I got a letter from Mrs. Gerald R. Parrish of Washington, D.C. She says, you seem to enjoy in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia so much, I thought you'd like to hear some alternate lyrics, which I learned as a child. Arch, give me that intro again. In the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia, stood a cow on the railroad track. She was a nice old cow with eyes so fine, but you can't expect a cow to read a railroad sign. So she stood in the middle of the track, and the train hit her right in the back. You'll find her horns in the mountains of Virginia, and her tail on the lonesome spine. Look, I won't have you kicking my favorite song around like that now. Doggone, that's a pretty song. Yes, sir. Well, here it is the day after Thanksgiving, and I got a sort of a faraway feeling. Reason is I can't crowd up any closer to the mic. I'm sitting here like a hibernating bear, wearing my old purple pajamas, trying not to breathe. These pajamas used to fit me, too, but today I got a bare midriff. Speaking of which, who was it gave me this? Jill Warren, wasn't it? Yeah, Jill Warren gave me an ad out of the New Yorker just before she left for the West Coast. Maybe you saw this ad about tuck-away pajamas. Tuck-away pajamas. You can tuck your shirt inside your pants, you see. And it says it puts that daytime good looks into bedtime attire. It says no man, when dressed for bed, will ever match his wife's allure when she is similarly attired. But in these new, differently designed pajamas, he can preserve much of the civilized appearance that characterizes his daytime clothes. Do we really look so uncivilized in our pajamas, eh? It says, by hanging the sleeves of the jacket like those of a suit coat and cutting the trousers just like smart slacks, we avoid entirely the scarecrow shapelessness of ordinary pajamas with their bow-legged trousers and flower sack coats and afford worthwhile dividends of comfort and self-respect. Heavenly days. All these years, I've had no comfort, no self-respect. My. It's amazing what you learn as you grow older, ain't it? Well, how did you all enjoy Thanksgiving? You did all right, huh? Jeanette, did something finally come your way?
You know, Arthur, yesterday after the show, there were so many nice telephone calls that came in. People asking me to have Thanksgiving dinner with them that I couldn't acknowledge them all. But I never thought that anything like that would happen when I said I didn't have anything to do.
That ain't what you said. You said you didn't have a beat-up thing to do.
Well, at that time, I didn't. But it turned out real fun.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought. Yes, yes, yes. We had quite a party here, quite a party. Archie said that the Thanksgiving party he went to last night was sort of nip and tuck all evening. Just took one nip and then tucked another and... Down here, a fellow walked up to me at the party and said, "It's awful dull, ain't it? Let's go home." And I said, "It's dull, all right, but I can't go. I'm the host." So we sort of stuck around. We had stuffed olives here yesterday. You know what's a stuffed olive, don't you? It's a grape with a taillight. How about doing a little song for us, Jeanette, huh? Since you did so well yesterday, I heard you rehearsing a beautiful song. I want you to sing it specially for me. It's called "You're the Apple of My Eye, My Dear, and Rotten to the Core."
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you. I'm gonna write words, oh so sweet, they're gonna knock me off my feet. A lot of kisses at the bottom, I'll be glad I got them. I'm gonna smile and say, "I hope you're feeling better," and close with love the way you do. I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you. Gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you. I'm gonna write words, oh so sweet, they're gonna knock me off my feet. A lot of kisses at the bottom, I'll be glad I got them. Gonna smile and say, "I hope you're feeling better," and close with love the way you do. I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you. And make believe it came from you.
Yes, yes, yes. Make believe it came from you. I would like to suggest that you do yourself just about the greatest smoking favor you can. Try Chesterfield's today, my friend. I's no kidding you. You really will be doing yourself a smoking favor when you smoke Chesterfield's. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you on account of why. Chesterfield always has the right combination of the world's best tobaccos. Always mild, ripe tobaccos for Chesterfield. That's why Chesterfields always give the three simple ABCs of smoking pleasure. A means always milder, B better tasting, C cooler smoking. And that's why Chesterfields really satisfy. So make your next pack a fresh white pack of Chesterfields, and you'll see what I'm telling you is true. Chesterfields really satisfy. And if you buy them by the carton, they're doubly satisfied. Hey, I got a very, very interesting letter from a Mr. E.J. Davis. Mr. Davis, that's an engineer in Chicago. Ain't no kin of yourn, is he, Jeanette?
No, my father's A.C.
A.C.?
Mm-hmm.
Alternating current. This is Mr. E.J. Well, I thought maybe he could be kin. He lives in Chicago. That's where you're going today, ain't it?
Uh-huh.
What time are you going to take off?
1:15 this afternoon. I'll get in at 4:05.
Chicago
time. Mm-hmm.
Well, you have yourself a good time. You're going to get another Thanksgiving dinner, too, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, marvelous. Well, this fella Davis, maybe you better look him up. He's an engineer out there, and he tells me his firm has developed a revolutionary machine for use in chicken houses. He says that in wintertime, most poultrymen keep the lights turned on in their chicken houses for a while before sunrise and after sundown, on account of chickens are used to putting in a 13-hour day in the summer, so it's really no extra strain for them. Now, the only trouble is, according to Mr. Davis, that when the hen house lights are suddenly turned out at night, the hens don't have time to get up on the roost. And then they fly up in the dark, and sometimes they conk their noggins doing it, and this impairs egg production. And it's confusing, too. See a chicken with an egg on its head, you can't tell which end is up. Well, now, this new machine will change all this. It's called an automatic sunrise and sunset duplicator, because it turns up the lights gradually, and then the hens wake up normally and start off the day feeling good. And at night, the hen house lights go off in 15 minutes of gradual dimming. This increases the output, according to Mr. Davis, and causes the eggs to be laid an hour earlier. Same as I do when I'm on daylight saving time. I was going to get one of those new machines for my hen house, but I got a cheaper idea. I'll just get the band down here and have them play Let Yourself Go. Which reminds me, you boys have no doubt been working on a tune. How about a little thing called Sometimes I'm Happy? Archie Blyer and his boys. Cy Schaefer, the trombonist, went to a party last night dressed as a hula dancer. Somebody slipped a piece of ice down his back and he won first prize, I hear. Got a note from a listener here. Says, Tuesday you said you wanted to do something new and different and you came up with a mystery. Says, I have another suggestion. Sometime why don't you try comedy? You dear boy. All of them which laughed up there gets doxed. Me. I see a couple down in Statesville, North Carolina, just had their second set of triplets. Imagine that. Two sets of triplets. Wonder whether they're boys or girls. News item doesn't say. I guess it doesn't matter, though. Six of one, half dozen of the other. Hey, listen. I have some helpful hints that I'd like to pass on to you in case you're not getting this program properly from an article by Doris Dennison in the American Weekly. Miss Dennison begins by asking, are you sure you're getting the best possible performance from your radio? If you can't hear a program distinctly, she says it's probably for a lot of good reasons. Well, all I know is that this program is distinct when it leaves here. And possibly, says Miss Dennison, you are overloading your speaker. Well, there's nothing worse than a speaker overloaded, huh? Excessively high volume puts undue pressure on the speaker, she says, and will eventually cause it to rattle, and in some cases to break down completely. Yeah, I remember one case where somebody turned up the volume on John Reed King. The whole house caved in. Another thing, Miss Dennison says, sound has a way of disappearing. Heavy drapes, upholstered chairs, soft fabrics absorb sound. Long-handled underwear does the same thing. So get the upholstered chairs and children and long-handled ones out of the room and mop up the drapes. And when you have a choice as to where to put your radio, put it where it'll do the most good and no cracks. And since there aren't any chairs and nothing in the room anymore, you've cleaned it all out, just tip the speaker toward the floor so it'll blare at the people. Miss Dennison closes with a tip on tubes. She says a radio will often function even with some of the tubes worn out, but the reception will certainly be less pleasant. So if anybody thinks that this program is more unpleasant than it used to be, don't tell me your troubles. Put in some new tubes. Here are four lads who had a terrific Thanksgiving. They went to a party, too. When the hostess asked them to take off their masks, they had to confess they weren't wearing one. They've got quite a nice song for us, though. Very pretty song called, When You Wore a Tulip and I Wore a Something, I forgot.
Red Rose.
Red Rose, that's it. Red Rose.
You wore a tulip, a sweet yellow tulip, and I wore a big red rose. When you caressed me, it was then heaven bless me, what a blessing, no one knows. You made life cheery when you called me dearie, 'twas down where the blue grass grows. Your lips were sweeter than tulip when you wore the tulip, and I wore a big red rose.
I met you in a garden in an old Kentucky town. The sun was shining down. You wore a gingham gown. Time has not changed your loveliness. You're just as sweet to me. I can't forget the days that used to be.
When you wore a tulip, a sweet yellow tulip, and I wore a big red rose. When you caressed me, it was then heaven blessed me, what a blessing, no one knows. You know that you made my cheery when you called me dearie, 'twas down where the blue grass grows. Your lips were sweeter than tulip when you wore a tulip, and I wore.
Oh, me, that's wonderful. What was that? When the guy went before the judge over in Baltimore the other day, he didn't say anything. He just handed his honor a piece of paper that said, read as follows. Judge, your honor, I'll ask you please to give me a chance. I'm on bended knees. I was trying to help an unfortunate friend. Now my future on you, dear judge, does depend. The judge didn't reply with a poem, but he did give the guy a sentence. 60 days. I'll bet a poem like that would have worked on the guy that handed me that fine for speeding over in Jersey that time. It was a poetic type of justice, if ever I saw one. Justice of the peace. I know just what he'd have said after he read that poem. He would have said, roses are red, violets are nifty. That'll be $27.50. And here is today's household hint from the New York Post. It is about ironing, so you'll want to try it next Tuesday. It says, make use of the iron's stored heat. Turn the dial to off before you're quite through and iron the little odd pieces which need little heat. That's the end of the hint. I suppose by little odd pieces, they mean things like rumpled shoelaces and quilt patches, damp dry cleaner tags, that sort of thing. Incidentally, if you use old-fashioned flat irons, don't bother turning that dial off. It reminds me of the story of the vacuum cleaner salesman. You remember that story? He was given a home demonstration for a prospective customer. He hauled out a large paper bag and proceeded to scatter the contents all over the lady's beautiful living room rug. Mud, gook, dirt, anything. All kind of stuff in there. And he made an awful mess of it. And then he said, "Now, madam, I'll eat every bit of this stuff that this vacuum cleaner doesn't pick up." The lady turned and started out of the room, and the salesman said, "Where are you going?" She says, "I'm going to get the salt and pepper. You see, we don't have any electricity." Yeah, dee. Thank you, Archie. I'm glad you got that one. Will you kindly explain it to the rest of the cast this afternoon? I have a... there's quite a song I wanted to do for you this morning. What the heck? I've forgotten the words. Now, if I can just forget the melody, it will save everybody a lot of grief, won't it? tell you what, instead of that, let's have Jeanette Davis sing a beautiful thing called Solitude. In My Solitude. Get on your way to Chicago. Have a nice trip. See you Monday. Say, you've heard me speak as Cedric Adams, the columnist on the Minneapolis Star. Well, Cedric has discovered a new and unique movie theater out in Milton, North Dakota. This new movie is a theater at night, and during the day, it's an undertaker's establishment. Yeah. I bet you that's one place that nobody ever asked for a box seat. Personally, I think the combination ought to work out pretty swell, the way these movies have been lately. They could show one at night and then take it out and bury it the next morning, you know. Can't you just see the advertising on the marquee? See our sensational new comedy. It'll kill you, we hope. My gags would get all the biggest laughs on this show if it wasn't for the way Schaefer dresses, doggone it. Say, I have a letter here from, What'd you do, explain it to him, Arch? I don't know. Who knows what he wears? Well, I told you about what tobacco farmer Claude Whitehead had to say about the pleasure that comes from smoking Chesterfield, huh? There are thousands of smokers who smoke nothing but Chesterfields every single day. And there are some darn good reasons why so many smokers are satisfied with Chesterfields. Just like I tell you, Chesterfields always give you the right combination of the world's best tobaccos. Always the mild, ripe tobaccos for Chesterfields. And in the second place, this Chesterfield blend and these Chesterfield tobaccos always give you those ABCs. A, always milder. B, better tasting. C, cooler smoking. So why don't you try them today, huh? Do me a favor, will you? And you will do yourself a great service. Buy yourself a carton of Chesterfields today. And by the time you've finished them, you'll be a dyed-in-the-wool Chesterfield fan from now on. How about another song out of the Mariners? Got time, boys? Huh? Sure you have. Hurry up. Whippin' Poof song.
Tables down at Maury's, to the place where Louis dwells, to the dear old temple bar we love so well. Sing the whip and pulse assemble with their glasses raised on high, and the magic of their singing cast its spell. Yes, the magic of their singing now, the songs we love so well. Shall I wasting and the morning and the rest?
We will serenade our Louis while life and voice shall last. Then we'll pass and be forgotten.
Yourselves. Be the good Lord willing, we'll see you again on Monday. This is Arthur Godfrey saying bye-bye for Chesterfield on CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.